Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello to everyone tuning in. We're a Boston Celtics fan site that covers everything Celtics, from the latest rumor trade rumor to that other trade rumor to the Nets picks and how exactly Danny Ainge got his free Chipotle for life card. No one knows, honestly, and they better give us something for all this free advertising we're doing for them. The Midweek Pod covers all the same topics our site does, but in a more relaxed, in-depth perspective. The best part of it all is we're talking about this from a fan's point of view, and this week, for the Midweek Pod, we thought we would dive into something a little bit different. It's going to be myself, Justin Quinn, and Luis Gonzalez. Hi, Luis.
Hey.
So, one of the things that's been driving at least me crazy, I'm not going to speak for Luis, but this tourney has been something of an enigma in terms of ousting people I really wanted to keep an eye on in terms of just getting a little bit more data, and now I'm looking at a bunch of guys who, I'll be honest, I don't know that much about. We did some research today just to try to take a look at who is the best of the rest of the prospects who are still in the tourney. I know, Luis, you've been following Oregon a lot, so I'm going to defer to you completely on those guys. Anybody else that you've been keeping an eye on so far?
You just exposed me. I am an Oregon fan. But in terms of, you know, players outside of the notable top five picks, I think one of the players who is really making a name for himself, especially after that Kansas performance, is Jordan Bell. I mean, this dude, if you had to, like, sort of create a Celtic, like if you had a program that was called Create a Celtic, Jordan Bell would be the result of that. This dude plays out of his mind. He plays with that sort of Jay Crowder-esque tenacity. Blocking machine. He had 7 blocks against Kansas. I'm pretty sure a lot of people saw that game.
Yeah. I'm sure you saw the highlights.
Yeah, I mean, this dude is a monster. Great rebounder. For people that are fans of stat lines, he's averaging 10.9, 8.6, 1.8, and 2.2 blocks per game. I mean, the 8.6 rebounds alone should make Celtics fans salivate a little bit. And he's the best rebounder left in the tournament by far. So I'm drinking the Jordan Bell juice right now. I would love to see him on the Celtics. Although, if he puts up another performance like he did, or puts up another performance like he had against Kansas this Saturday against North Carolina, I really think he's probably going to slide in into the top 20. Maybe.
You think so? Because, I mean, most mocks I've been seeing him at have him. And the highest I've seen him is in the low 20s, like 26, 27, 28, if I remember right. And most mocks I see him in have him coming in the early second round, which would be, coincidentally, I should probably say, none of these people we're going to be speaking about is obviously likely to come with the Brooklyn swap pick, which means we have the Minnesota pick, which is somewhere in the low 30s, and then the two late seconds that we have from the Clippers and from the Cavs, I think. Yeah, the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, I mean, in my mind, I could actually see him being somebody we would love to grab with that Minnesota pick. But you're saying you don't think he's going to be available?
Like I said, his performance against Kansas, I think, is enough. I mean, he didn't look like a 38th pick against Kansas. And this season, he's been playing very, very well. The problem with Oregon is that nobody watches them play because they are on the West Coast and all of their games, I mean, to be
start
honest,
at 10 o'clock at night, yeah.
Yeah, start at 10 o'clock at night or 11. And it's just like, well, I live on the East Coast. I can't stay up for that. If he replicates that performance against North Carolina, I don't see how anybody passes up on him after the first round. So, and I might sound like a little bit of a homer right now, but...
Hey, there's nothing wrong with being a homer just as long as you take off the tinted glasses every now and then.
The thing is with him is that, you know, you have players in the NBA that are good shot blockers, but they may not be the most athletic players. Not only is he a good shot blocker, he's very, very, very athletic. He's 6'8", which is a little undersized for his position, but he moves around like he's 6'4". So this is why I'm a big fan of him. But besides him, I think I've been talking about him a little too much.
Not at all. I mean, I think he's probably of the people that we looked at, if any of them end up becoming potential Celtics, I'm not going to say any of them are going to become Celtics, but if any of them have a chance of making the team and getting drafted by Boston, I would say he's the best. So, I mean, like, getting a little bit more information on him is not a bad thing. Dylan Brooks, who's ranked just below him. I tend to go to Givoni's Draft Express. They seem to be the best overall player assessment, mock draft type resource out there. Real GM is pretty good. NBADraft.net is somebody else I take a look at, but they seem like they're getting kind of sloppier as time passes. Maybe it's just me. No offense to you guys. It just seems like you guys have less information out there if you're listening. So we'd love some more. But what do you know about Dylan Brooks?
Dylan Brooks is a player that plays with, and I hate this saying, but he like really plays with his heart on his sleeve. Like, he's another very tenacious player, which is why I think him and Jordan Bell play so well together. But he has that, you know, that so-called killer instinct, very similar to Isaiah Thomas in the fourth quarter of the season, actually. The problem with him is that, at least when I've watched him play, he tends to defer a lot to the later points in the game. So, like, Isaiah Thomas waiting for the fourth quarter to, like, kind of explode. Dylan Brooks kind of does the same thing in the second half of games, which is a little bit annoying. You want to see somebody that's putting in 100% effort in the first and, well, from quarter one to four in Dylan Brooks' case, the first and second half. But he's a good shooter. He's a good driver to the rim, that's for sure. He's shooting 42.7% from three this season, which is pretty crazy. And that's not even the best mark on his team. I think Tyler Dorsey is shooting he's like 60% in the tournament or something. This season, he's been pretty much a matchup nightmare against NCAA teams that can't really contain him and his shooting and his driving ability. He's also gotten better at his playmaking abilities. His passing has been better. For stat lovers, he's averaging 16.3. 3.1 and 2.8 assists per game. So, decent stat line. But like I said, he definitely has that killer instinct. He can be a pretty good knockdown shooter.
Especially towards the ends
of games. Yeah, a little streaky. But once he's like a rhythm shooter. So once he gets in a rhythm, he'll start knocking him down. And he has the ability to knock him down from pretty deep too. Similar to his teammate Tyler Dorsey. In terms of Celtics fit, maybe.
He kind of seems like one of those guys who really in the NBA kind of fits more. Like, I know he's kind of a combo forward, my limited knowledge of him, but I would say in the NBA, based on what I've seen so far, he's kind of more of a three in the NBA, and it kind of seems like he might be somebody who could maybe end up with one of the later picks, I think, in terms of where he would fit in drafting plans. I don't know if he's going to fit in the team's plans, though, based on size, because I kind of feel like he's a long shot based on the fact that he doesn't really have a real high upside, and we're kind of stocked at his position. So it seems to me more like he's someone to keep an eye on, but unless he's willing to camp out in, you know, Europe or China for a season or two, it doesn't seem like he has too good of a shot.
Yeah, I mean, I can see him doing the overseas thing for a season or two just to kind of fine-tune or just, you know, just to play. But if an NBA team were to pick him, I can, I don't know, it's hard to say. I can see him as an early to mid-second round guy. But again, it totally just depends on what Oregon's tournament run, whether it comes to an end on Saturday or if they make it to the national championship game and win, depending on his performance in either of those games. I don't know, he may help his cause or hurt his cause. But as he stands right now, I see him as an early second. Yeah, early to mid-second, depending on the team.
So he's a possibility for the Minnesota pick them?
Maybe, but I don't know.
I mean, like, obviously Bell is the guy we'd rather have, but, I mean, if he's not available, and maybe the staff likes what they see, it's not out of the question.
Yeah.
What about Gonzaga? Have you been following them?
Kind of, sort of. They're another team. They it's funny with them is that they, you know, they're, like, basically considered, I'm pretty sure they're still considered a mid-major. So them bursting onto the scene this season to have the one-loss season that they had, pretty crazy.
This is their first Final Four, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. So they, obviously they're doing good things out there. But I'm pretty sure the name that everybody knows is Nigel Williams-Goss. He's number 70 on Draft Express's top 100 list.
Seems kind of low, right?
Yeah, that seems pretty low, especially considering how good the team is. And, I mean, his stat line is pretty good. He's 16.7 points, 5.9 rebounds, and 4.6 assists, which I would say is a pretty solid stat line.
Yeah, and he's not small or anything, which is why I would think he'd be lower. But, I mean, maybe it's just because there's so much, you know, point guard talent heavy near the top of the draft. But for yeah, me, I mean, he's 6 feet four with a six foot six inch wingspan for a point guard.
I mean, he's not Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, so, not by a mile.
In terms of size.
Yeah, or skill, which isn't so great. But I mean, yeah. The stat line he's putting up in a competitive conference is not bad. His free throw shooting could use some work. It's 72%, and his 3-point shooting, 36% with some significant attempts. That's a little worrying, considering the fact that the line's going to be further back, and he's going to have a lot better defenders. But I mean, he's also, you know, he's got defensive ability as well. He's got some crafty hands. He gets a steal about per game.
I like
that. What's that?
Yeah, I like the steal per game. That's something that, you know, even you say like one steal per game. So what? But there
doesn't sound like a lot, but it's hard to do consistently.
No, of course, exactly. So to do it at least once per game, or to average it at least once per game, I think is pretty telling. He cares about defense.
In my mind, he's someone that we would be looking at for one of the two late second round picks.
Yeah.
There's another guy on Gonzaga, though, who is ranked much higher, but I really don't know very much about him other than what we scared up in terms of scouting of our own today, Zach Collins.
Yeah, I guess he seems like the kind of guy that you need to have watched him all season to sort of appreciate what he does. 9.9 points per game, 5.6 boards per game. The boards are pretty good, 0.4 assists. I mean, obviously that's not very good, but he is a power forward. But he seems to be able to stretch the floor pretty well.
That's what I remember him. Like, I remember, you know, like I haven't watched any wire-to-wire Gonzaga games in the tourney, but when I have checked in and watched a little bit, like I've definitely caught him shooting the three. He seems a little slow, and he seems a little skinny also, which to me, I mean, you could be a Kelly Olynyk, but I mean, speaking of Gonzaga.
Yeah, right.
But, I mean, how many skinny guys who shoot well but can't defend the perimeter can you really afford to have on a team?
Not many, especially with the direction that the NBA is going now.
Yeah, so I personally, like, I'm actually kind of more surprised that Zach Collins is ranked above Williams-Goss just because of the fact that while I do think that Collins could eventually work his way, I mean, he seems like a poor man's Kelly Olynyk, more or less.
Yeah, I think the reason maybe for his that high number there on Draft Express is that teams are sorely lacking in talented big men. the game is getting a lot smaller. So as soon as you see a big guy that can like kind of shoot pretty well and is a decent rebounder and can dole out a few assists per game, it's just like antennas up. It's a pretty rare thing to see now in the NBA. So I think a lot of teams, even if the guy is like halfway decent, as long as he can shoot a three or two per game, you know, his draft status is elevated tenfold as a result.
Yeah, he seems like he's got a good post game also. He's got a little drop step that I've seen him pull off a couple of times. I don't think that you know, I seem like I might be kind of down on him, and for the Celtics I am, but I do think he might be a good addition to the right kind of team. I just don't think we're it. I mean, even if we let Kelly Olynyk go, I think like a worse version of him is not something that we particularly have a great need for, at least with the way things are developing. But South Carolina, this is a team that I just
super
really,
random team.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know if Cinderella is really the right word for them because they've been a really solid team in a solid conference. They had some good regular season wins. I didn't really see them, you know, they were one of the first teams that really royally trashed my bracket when they kicked Duke out.
Yeah, I think they ruined most of the brackets that were submitted.
Well, Sindarius Thornwell is a big reason for that, and he's been having an amazing tourney. He's putting up 21 points roughly on the season, about 7 boards too, which is, you know, kind of some Avery Bradley territory there.
Yeah,
he plays the two, but I mean, he's got good ball handling skills and playmaking. Like he's an unselfish playmaker. So, I mean, he could fit into either backcourt role. He's got decent size. He attacks pretty well. He can change speeds. He's got good footwork and he's a solid shooter. He can hit about 40% with significant attempts from three, but he's kind of inconsistent and he's got like a little janky kind of a spin release going on that I think is behind. So, I mean, like with some good coaching, I think he might turn out to be at least a rotation player. Maybe I would say from the, you know, I only caught the Duke game and a little bit here and there and some clips that I checked out for him. He doesn't look, you know, like anybody that I don't think he's going to get picked in the first round. I mean, maybe if they make it into the title game, that might catapult him up higher. But have you had a chance to see him at all?
I honestly haven't outside of the tournament. But it's funny that you bring up Avery Bradley because if there's any reason that he's going to be drafted, it's because of his rebounding ability. 7.2 boards per game. That's pretty good for a shooting guard. I mean, that's better than some centers and some power forwards in the NBA game right now. And obviously 22 points is nothing to scoff at. So I like the Avery Bradley comparison in terms of the rebounding. But yeah, I haven't seen him play too much, like I said, outside of the tournament. But if there's any reason that South Carolina is where they're at right now in the Final Four, it's probably because of him.
And they also have P.J. Dozier. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it, so please don't murder me out there if you're a South Carolina fan. He is also a fairly competent perimeter offensive player. He's been shooting over 40% on the season. He's also kind of inconsistent. He seems to go cold for really long stretches. I kind of feel like the fact that he's really kind of a player that in a lot of ways looks like Thornwell with worse rebounding and worse scoring. I don't really think that he's, you know, I mean, we can keep an eye on him. He's probably going to be available in the range for the latter two picks we have in the second round, which are currently projected to be in the 50s, mid 50s or so. But I think there's probably a lot of other players, particularly European and foreign players, who might be a better fit. The other teams that we haven't talked about are the slightly more, I guess you could say, popular, well-known players for Carolina, Justin Jackson and Tony Bradley. Now, you are a fan of Justin Jackson, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, don't get me wrong when I say this, but he reminds me a lot of Kevin Durant in terms of how long he is and his shooting ability. So if, and I'll just go ahead and say this, if the Celtics had like a number 10 pick in the draft this season, I would probably pick him. Although at this
really?
Rate, I don't know if he's going to go after 10. He might be a 10 and like a 1 through 10 pick if he keeps playing the way that he is right now. He's pretty consistent, pretty good vision. Like I said, he's pretty long, great shooting touch, great passer. I'm drinking the Jordan Bell juice and the Justin Jackson juice.
So he is, for those of you who don't know or aren't familiar with him, a lot shorter than Kevin Durant at 6'8", but he's got a 6'10", nearly 6'11" wingspan, so I could definitely see the comparison.
Yeah, and they're both pretty skinny and lanky.
Yeah, he rebounds pretty well, too, for his position. They have him playing a shooting guard. I could see him like another 6'8", wing guy that we have on the roster now, kind of being able to play at least the 2 and the 3. Do you think that he might even be able to stretch up to the 4 with that wingspan?
Oh, definitely. I mean, 6'10", he's 6'8", but he might as well be 6'10", 6'11".
Yeah, because he's logged almost 3 assists per game this season, so that seems like the kind of player who could definitely slot into a Brad Stevens offense. Maybe something to keep an eye on if we trade back and grab some extra picks.
Yeah, if the Celtics pick him, oh boy, I would love that pick. I see him fitting in pretty seamlessly, being able to stretch the floor, somebody who can rebound, somebody who has the court vision that he does, long. Obviously, he may have to put on a little bit of weight, but... And he's a junior. You know, I tend to favor players that have been in school for at least 2 years because then they've been able to work on their games while in college as opposed to getting to the NBA and then having to work on their games then.
So I am divided on that strategy. I personally feel like if you're a McDonald's All-American or, you know, like a top 50 recruit and you stick around longer than a year, then that should, you know, make maybe people a little nervous for a variety of different reasons on why that can happen. But in this case, and in a lot of cases where guys weren't necessarily hugely ballyhooed recruits coming into college, the fact that they can put in the work and transform themselves, I definitely agree. I think yeah. that's a good sign.
And it's also worth noting that Justin Jackson is the number one ranked junior on Draft Express. So that's a pretty big deal.
So they have one more guy, Isaiah Hicks. I don't want to spend too much time on him, but he is technically a prospect. He's I think, currently number 91 on Draft Express's top 100. And he's putting up some decent numbers alongside Jackson. He is logging for the season 12.1 points for you stat lovers out there, 5.4 rebounds, and 1.4 assists at a power forward, which is pretty interesting. He might be worth taking a flyer on with that Cleveland pick, depending on whether or not he's willing to become the new Zizic and Yabusele type for the Celtics. He's a solid shooter from the floor, 59%, though I don't think he has much of a perimeter game, which is kind of a big knock. I don't know if there's too much more to say about him, but we're going kind of long on time, and I just wanted to get your opinion on some basic selection near the top of the draft, since we can't really talk about the draft selection of what we're going to do if – As some of you know, we currently have the best odds at the top pick, but we might not get it, depending on how the ping pong balls shake out. So I thought maybe you might be able to tell me your first, second, third, and fourth or later picks. It can be all the same or however, depending on who you would select based on where the draft pick ends up actually falling. Because I'm trying to give the people who don't necessarily want to talk about what we're going to do with second-round picks or the possibility of getting multiple picks by trading backwards, which I think is fascinating and actually my preference if we fall outside the top three. But I digress. I asked you first.
I got to stick with Markelle Fultz. I'm not digging Lonzo Ball. I don't see what everybody else sees. And I'm probably going to get killed for this, but
I'm coming around to you, man. I'm coming around to it. I was all aboard the ball train at the beginning of the season and was well ensconced on it most of the collegiate basketball season. But between the drama with his dad, which isn't that big of a deal for me, and it shouldn't be, I think, the UCLA to Los Angeles kind of timeline that him and his family seem to have created in the situation. Yeah. I kind of just don't really like the way that he responded when he was, you know, bounced from the tournament. And I don't know, like his shot bothers me. It's really weird. And his passing ability, which is always, and size have always intrigued me. He's a good defender, but just I don't see him as first.
Yeah, I think every time I watch him play, I look at his shot and I'm just like, an NBA defender is going to take that shot away from him. It's
easily, right?
Yeah, pretty easily, I would say. He's so weird. There's like this weird hitch or like pause and no.
And then once you got scouting on him, man, it's all over. And he's just going to be a distributor, which is fine. But do you really want to pick a distributor with like a top three pick even?
Definitely not. This is why I like Markelle Fultz. He's averaging more points per game. Pretty much the same stat line without all the weird shot baggage and like the family baggage. I know we have a bunch of point guards on the team, but I think that Isaiah Thomas and Markelle Fultz can coexist, and both Washington guys, I think I think it'll be something pretty, pretty serious that other NBA teams have to prepare for.
If Fultz isn't available, who do you pick?
If Fultz is not available and I can't pick, I'm not picking Lonzo Ball. Probably Justin Jackson.
So do you think, now here's the thing for me, I will stay very, very far away for the same reason I imagine Danny Ainge would. The affidavit was released of that vandalism incident, which wasn't just vandalism. It was him terrorizing a teammate's ex-girlfriend for something like an hour, if I remember right, kicking the car repeatedly, threatening to beat her up. And I understand he's a young guy, but that's, in my mind, that's just like unacceptable conduct. So for me, I would have to pass on him. I'm pretty much of the same mind as you with the first pick. I think that it's really just impossible not to pick Fultz. I have some questions about his shot as well, more about selection than mechanics.
Yeah.
He's making them now. I have less of a solid reason. You know, there's no hitch or anything like that. It just seems like, you know, I could easily be wrong about this, but I just have a bad feeling about the way that he chooses to shoot in some really tough situations that it might cause him problems later on. But he does look like he might have the skill set to adjust to that. For me, after that, I don't know what to do, because like Jackson, in terms of pure talent, would be the next most likely player on the board. He seems like he's got the most complete game, apart from some streaky shooting issues that seem like they have been resolved, though, you know, it's really not that much of a sample size, even with a whole collegiate season under his belt. For me, the one thing that I would like to do, and I already hinted at this earlier, is trade back to either the Kings, or if Philly ends up with two picks, depending on how the Lakers shake out, that would be a situation I would be open to. Just because I have the biggest crush on Lauri Markkanen's shot. Not necessarily his whole game, because he could rebound more and his perimeter defense is not as good as I would like. And I can't justify taking him. Like, I think I would take Tatum with him probably for the number three spot. But anything lower than that, I think I would go for him. And I just can't justify taking a top five pick who has problems defending where his offense comes from and where he'll spend most of his time on the floor.
Yeah. I hear you.
Well, we are about out of time. Thanks for y'all for listening. I just want to remind you guys, make sure that you rate us 5 stars if you like what you hear. And if you have any kind of a comment or suggestion on what we could do better, definitely work it into, you know, you can either hit us up with an email, you can get us on Twitter, either through our accounts or through Celtics Life Pod as a hashtag. And you can find it, this pod, on iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, SoundCloud, and Mixcloud. And make sure you check out the links at the top of CelticsLife.com also. We have a big variety of shirts and hoodies, and you can even get tickets under the heading that is, you know, really difficult to remember, tickets. That's all I have. You have anything you're working on, Lewis, that you maybe want to talk about, or anything else you want to say?
I can't wait for Saturday. Hopefully Oregon can win, and hopefully Jordan Bell can, you know, improve his draft status.
Well, I'll be keeping my eye on him as well. Thanks for y'all for tuning in. Take care, Lewis.
Thanks, guys. Later.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.